We'd like to get caught up with the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. It's our great friend Eric Spoonmore. He pops in early weeks, oh, every once in a while. Heck, I haven't talked to you since the solar eclipse, eclipsed over Bloomington last Monday. It's been a couple weeks. Well, that was a big deal here. We have the Convention Center project moving on. That's a big deal. Everything that the chamber is doing is a big deal. My goodness, do you find time for any leisure activities, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it was a great day for the eclipse last week. That was such an awesome experience to be able to witness that, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't know that the crowds were, I think that's pretty clear. The crowds weren't nearly as large as anticipated, but certainly didn't diminish from Bloomington residents having a great experience for that. Convention Center, CIB conversations continue to heat up and move along, and so we're excited about that as well, too. And then, yeah, try to find a little time for some leisure activities. Over the weekend, I went out to Bart Kauffman Field, had a great time watching the Hoosiers get a couple of wins out there. Saturday was probably one of the most entertaining baseball games I've seen in a long time with a walk-off wild pitch after Penn State had got up 8 runs in the first inning. IU just steadily came back throughout that game. It was very exciting. So it's always fun to watch the Hoosiers on a nice, warm spring day out there at Bart Kauffman Field.
82 degrees, and then they backed it up. Was it 80? No, that was 72 on Saturday, and it was 82 on Sunday. We made a record yesterday, buddy, 86 of them. I'm still sweating here on the top floor. The heat is on, as Glenn Frey once told us, and the heat is rising and rising as well. All right, let's have some fun with the eclipse first. Where were you? What was your big plan for the day, and how did it turn out for you?
Well, in the early part of the day, we had an empty office here at the chamber, so that was a very productive few hours for me. I came into work. All the staff was working remotely. I wanted to come downtown and see what all was happening, but I was able to get quite a bit knocked out in the morning. Even cleaned out the office, got it nice and spiffed up here, so that was nice to be able to do that. And then I headed over to IU, went over to the stadium to check out all the things going on there, took a swing down by Switchyard Park, couldn't find anywhere to park down there, so later in the afternoon I was able to get home with my family and enjoy some neighborhood festivities and watch the eclipse and its spectacular display. Just a lot of fun, and again, once in a lifetime thing. We won't get to see that in Indiana. I think there's another 120 years or something like that.
Well, we're both going to miss that one. But talking to members in the business community, I know it wasn't the oh my gosh, where's everybody going to park? But did the business community were they successful? And those who did show up, when I got out of the radio at 6 o'clock or so, you couldn't walk in any downtown restaurant. Every place was packed, so people that didn't make the trip and didn't turn around and leave seemed to have enjoyed their time.
I think the bars and restaurants that remained open were doing very well and were very pleased with the business that they were doing on Eclipse Day. I know a lot of our shops downtown, there was just a lot of people out and about in the downtown area. And so I think everyone was really happy. It wasn't overly inundating, but it kept people busy, that's for sure. And, we love when visitors come in from out of town and support our business community here. So overall, I think it was a really great success for our businesses and for people who wanted to come to Bloomington and experience it and have a good time. We even, I even had some emails from total strangers. People that contacted the chamber and others and city government as well, too, just thanking the community for really rolling out the red carpet and making this a very welcoming place for them coming from out of town. I heard somebody who came all the way from Minnesota, and it just kind of sent different community organizations a letter of thank you. And that was really nice to see that. So I'm proud of our community and glad that we were able to get on the national map. and have some really cool events here that our residents were able to enjoy.
Eric Spoonmore is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, joining us this afternoon. Oh, every time I look up, more members are joining. Everybody's joining. You've already been, you're going to have a busy week this week as well with all the outreach going on. Coming up just in a couple hours will be the candidate forum tonight. That's over at Upland. I'll let you tell me about that. You've got business after hours on Thursday. It's a little five weekend. Well, let's just have some fun,
awesome,
shall we?
Time of year. Yeah, this is an awesome time of year, and we always, pay close attention in the spring months to elections. Obviously, this is a big primary coming up in a presidential election year, so just about every office that you can think of is going to be on the ballot this year, from the president all the way down to school board. Later on, we'll start to see some of those candidates emerge too. But tonight we're doing our annual Elect Connect event for the primaries. We've got, and we're going to be focusing more on the competitive primaries tonight. So we're going to be having candidates for U.S. Representative in District 9 in town. We'll have candidates for U.S. Senate in town. And then all the down ballot races at the county and the county administrative offices will be at our event tonight as well too. So we've got three competitive primaries this year for county commissioner, which I'm really pleased to see. You know, a lot of times you'll see a lot of these local races and they're just not competitive. It's just an incumbent running and nobody is running against them. And I think any time that our community has choices is a good thing. So really appreciate all of the candidates who have put themselves out there, thrown their hat in the ring to give the community a choice in this election. And so we're excited to learn more about their platforms tonight. We'll have the District 2 county commissioners candidates there, as well as the District 3 county commissioner candidates there. And then we've got four folks running for the at-large seats on the county council that we'll hear from as well, too. Of course, that's my old neck of the woods on the county council, and it'll be nice to see some of my old colleagues there, too, and some new faces that are looking to get involved, and look forward to having a good discussion with them as well. And remember, there's only three positions on county council. We've got four people running, so one of those candidates will be eliminated in the primary, so it'll be a good opportunity for us to hear from all of those county council candidates as well, too.
5 o'clock tonight, Upland Brewing. How long do you think this event will last, Eric, and who can attend?
We're going from 5 to 7 tonight. We'll get over there and do some introductory stuff. Doors will open about 4:30, and yeah, it'll be at the Upland Wood Shop, so anybody from the public is invited to come and to learn more about the candidates. We're excited to be able to host them and look forward to a big crowd. I think right now we got about 100 folks registered to attend, but if any listeners are out there and want to get a little bit more informed about local candidates or candidates for federal office who will be at our event tonight, feel free to show up. They'll have a cash bar there at the wood shop, some refreshments and food and so forth. So it'll be a nice night, a good fun night to learn more about the candidates.
Excellent. And you can have some fun on Thursday night as well. Who is hosting your business after hours? Well, that'll be a busy. You got business after hours. You got the spring football game at 8 o'clock. That's a busy Thursday night on Little 5 Week.
Yeah. So John, our good friends at Herlow Wealth Management, John Herlow, great longtime chamber member. His office is out on the east side of town. They've just done a magnificent renovation of that space. I know John and his team are really looking forward to showing that off to the chamber membership on Thursday night, and it'll be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to our April edition of the Business After Hours being hosted by John Herlow and his team out there at Herlow Wealth Management. And it looks like we're going to have another big crowd for that one as well, too. So I would say to anyone who's wanting to attend that event, get there early and get your parking taken care of. Parking's at a little bit of a premium at these business after-hours events with all the people that attend them, but we should have a good time. That'll be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday.
And nobody carpools anymore. Nobody, nobody carpools. Before we leave the chamber world and jump into the CIB world, well, that's why we have you on as often as we do. You've got knowledge on all these subjects. How are the registrations going for the golf scramble coming up? I know it's in June, but I know that filled up pretty quickly last year. How's everything going for the Bloomington Country Club coming up on June 20th?
Yeah, looking forward to being out at the Country Club for the June 20th annual chamber golf outing. And, you know, the last I looked at teams, I know we're filling up. I don't think we're all the way there yet. I was just having some conversations with a few folks that I know they'll be getting their teams in, but we're getting close. And it'll be, you know, hopefully we'll have good weather. It's always a fun time to get out there and have fun on the golf course. You know, we don't have a whole lot of ringers playing, but you know, you'll see some good golf shots. You'll see some bad ones too.
Nobody wants to work. We'll do business on the golf course. Let's be fair. And last year we had a little rain out at Eagle Point with our friends out there. We'll try to keep that off the books. The final day of
spring. I remember that.
Spring.
Yeah, we had a little rain last year. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do our little. That'll be the last day of spring, right there, close to it, on the June 20th day. So you can go to the Chamber's website and get that all taken care of. I hope my bosses make me play it again this year. That would be that would be great if they forced me into such activities. And who knows? Maybe we will work that out. I lied.
I wish my bosses would let me play. But,
you
can, I get to hand out the hot dogs. How about that?
Well, you can hand over the football for an afternoon and get it hop in the cart and play along. Eric Spoonmore is our guest, and I lied. I said this would be the last thing before we wrapped up the chamber part, but I had something saved, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because the you partnered up with the Exchange Club of Northside Bloomington to host the inaugural Valor Awards, and I didn't want to let that go another couple weeks before talking about that. Tell me how this partnership came about, Eric, and what great things you saw when this all got together.
Well, we have great partners in the Bloomington Northside Exchange Club for this particular event, and they have done a program in the past where they recognized a police officer of the year. And so, you know, we really wanted to partner with them and show the community as much appreciation for all of our first responders, law enforcement, firefighters, dispatch, the folks working at the correctional center. And so we are having a massive celebration event that, you know, will really honor the sacrifices and the hard work that these first responders do day in and day out to keep our community safe. And of course, you know, public safety is such a major determinant of quality of life. And the chamber is, you know, a big part of our mission is doing things that improve the quality of life here in Bloomington and Monroe County. And so instrumental to that is our first responders. And it's important that we have them here and that we recognize their sacrifices and their work. And we welcome them here in this community. And so we're looking forward to having that event. We've got all of the nominations in place, all of the police chiefs and the fire chiefs and the sheriff and folks have sent in their nominees for the awards that will be given out. We've got a committee, selection committee, made up of chamber members and folks with the Exchange Club that will be reviewing all of those nominations for the final selections on the big day when we do the Valor Awards on May 8th. It'll be a big show. We're really looking forward to it. It'll be at the convention center, a lunch event. The public is invited to this, so you don't have to be a chamber member. If you want to support our first responders and show your appreciation, you can go to the chamber's website, search for this event, register for it. I believe the cost is $25, which is pretty nominal considering the great luncheon that we'll be providing and program and everything. And then we're also a big component of this is a portion of the proceeds from those sales will go to support a local 501c3 nonprofit. It's called Back the Line Monroe County. And this nonprofit supports the families of first responders, and particularly fallen first responders. So it's that's a big goal of this event is to raise money for that terrific organization that does a lot of great work for our first responders.
And you can find more information at the website. Get it right. You never get it right.
Chamberbloomington.org.
See, you got that's a reverse. It's that reverse osmosis that always knocks me off my horse, and I don't even have a horse, Eric. But if I did, I would be climbing back on. Eric Spoonmore is our guest, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, and he is also a member, the treasurer of the CIB that is trying to put together the convention center. Extension, new building, what property, what money, can we spend it, who's selling, who's buying? All of these wonderful questions have been posed here recently, and what is the direction moving forward of your group?
Well, those are all things that we've got to settle on. I think the Capital Improvement Board has made tremendous strides in the last 6-7 months of getting as much progress as we can. We do need some of the elected bodies to determine the land that's available for the convention center expansion. Right now there's really three options that we could go. We could go north across 3rd Street from the existing convention center to what is known as the Bunger Robertson property, and that's where the former Bunger Robertson law offices were. That's currently owned by the city's redevelopment commission. The former mayor, John Hamilton, had purchased that property with the plans of contributing it to the expansion project. Of course, now we have a new mayor. There may be some different goals in mind or uses for that property. So, we're still in the midst of those conversations and understanding better if it's still available for expansion. The original plan was always to expand south before Mayor Hamilton purchased that property. So, the southward expansion is still on the table, and that would probably be the least expensive option to go south. And then there's an option to go east, which is a little bit more complicated. But there's a parking lot and the former Napa auto parts store over there that the county owns. There are some utility concerns there, as well as some alley vacations, I think, that would need to be made if you expand the larger portion of the new building onto that land. So that would make things a little bit more complicated with that option. But so we're not quite sure yet what the footprint is going to be for the new expansion, but I think we'll get there very soon. And it's going to really kind of be dependent on, what's going to happen with that north property.
And getting closer to downtown, even if it's more expensive, I mean, look, I don't think you should be irresponsible with money, but pushing this towards 2nd Street, that's the south property, right?
Correct, yeah.
And that's okay, because there's still going to be a Courtyard Marriott right in the middle of all of that, correct?
Yep.
If you go that way.
That's privately owned, so that's not part of this construction project. That's going to remain there.
Interesting.
But you're right. I think, ideally in my mind, and this is just my opinion, I'm just one of, many people involved in this project. I really like the idea of a northward expansion because it transitions a lot better into our downtown, which could lead people to our restaurants and our shops and to our art galleries and to our small businesses down there that, we're really looking for that influx of weekday customers, and this would provide them with that new source of customers, having those weekday conferences The expanded center could accommodate a lot of those that we're just not able to accommodate at this point. And that's really the whole purpose of this, is to bring in more weekday visitors into Bloomington. We do very well on the weekends with all the events going on with IU and so forth. But to be able to host, you know, one or two conferences a week, you know, sometime between Monday and Thursday is what we're really missing out on that other communities are capitalizing on. And because we have this inadequate space, we miss out, our businesses miss out, and we don't want to lose out on those visitor dollars coming into our community.
Is there a hang up or a sticking point right now, or is this just government being government to the outsider who's not following along with this? Is this moving fast enough in your opinion? And if not, what needs to move faster?
Oh, I think you always want things to move quicker than what they do, especially in government. And, you know, I can remember those days when I was serving in an elected role, and the wheels of government do turn slow. And that's it can be a good thing, though, because you don't want government processes moving so fast that people aren't paying attention. And so you've got to give time for these things to work through the processes. And, you know, these are complicated issues as well, too. The city has lots of big initiatives going on right now with Hopewell, with the convention center and their partnership with the county on that. And so when you're looking at land uses and land assets, there's only a finite amount of that that's available. And, you know, you really want to give it its full amount of due diligence before making any final decisions on things. So I totally understand that, you know, people just want to be absolutely certain, and they need to be able to make the dollars and cents work as well, too. And one of the things we know about the current city administration, which I think is very smart, was to really conduct a very thorough examination of city finances to understand the true financial picture of the city, and we're still undertaking that effort. And I know the mayor is very interested in seeing that report when it's finalized, and hopefully it will be soon. But I think, you know, maybe that will inform a little bit better. Is there going to be a need for reimbursement of that north property? Can it just be contributed entirely to the project, or what will be the mechanism that's needed in order to make a decision on the Bunger Robertson property as it relates to the convention center? So, a lot of things up in the air right now, but I think we'll get some pretty quick answers to this. The Capital Improvement Board actually did formally request, in accordance with the interlocal agreement that both the city and the county signed, it told the Capital Improvement Board to make a request of the city and county governments to inquire which properties they intend to contribute to this project. So we have a timetable of May 8th that we had requested to be informed on that. And once we get that information back from the city county, I think we'll have a little bit more clear idea which direction this thing's going to go.
Everybody's got a spoon in the stew pot, stirring and tasting and trying, making sure the final product is perfect. And please don't ever sacrifice perfect for really, really good. That would be my only advice to everybody involved with all this. There is never going to be perfect. Compromise is a part of life. It's a part of politics. It's a part of everything. And there are more important hills to die on, I would believe, because this has been in the talks for, what, 30-something years? Get it to the finish line. Get it over the finish line. And let's see if Bloomington can keep rocking. I know you got to run, buddy. I really appreciate you squeezing me in today.
Well, I appreciate it, Glass. Always good to catch up with you, my friend.